I would just encourage you this morning, could you just, if you could with me, just for a moment, could you just switch off the bit of you that thinks about your predicament and your past? And could you just switch on the positive, hopeful, outward-looking, this is what God has for me part of you? Could you do that? If you'd like to do that with me, could you stick your hand up? Yeah. Oh, marvellous. What a beautiful bunch of Brits who are prepared to be positive. That's wonderful. Good. Okay. I'm a Brit, so I can say it, can't I? So I wanted to talk about Jesus this morning. He's my love. He's my passion. He's the person who makes the difference. And I didn't want this morning, in terms of what I bring, to be focused upon me. I want to look at him. And I just found that picture, and I just loved that picture. It's only a representation. Actually, it wasn't taken at the time, just in case anybody was unsure of it. But and can anybody guess for me who that lady represents? Kerry might be able to, based on what she said this morning, but who do you think? No, not Mary Magdalene. There's something that Kerry said this morning when you were praying and you're talking about Jesus.
The woman who pushed through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment.
Yeah, so this image is supposed to represent, in the stuff that I found about it, the lady who touched Jesus. And it's just, I just love the whole thing, really, of touching Jesus. Now, whenever I deliver a project, and I work in construction as a project manager, we often sort of leap into the doing bit of it, of actually getting on and doing the task and doing the thing that we've got to do. And I often have to say to project teams and to clients, let's just stop and let's just ask why. Why are we doing this? And so the question that I've got really this morning to start off with is, why are we thinking about Jesus? I mean, wasn't he just a person in history who lived and died, another prophet? Why is he so significant? Why is he so important 2,000 years ago? Is that relevant to modern day society and how we live and what we do? What's the relevance? What's the significance? What's the importance of Jesus? And it's not enough for me just to say, well, we're Christians and we believe in God. Yeah? There has to be greater depth to it than just that. And for me, the real power in Jesus' story is that he left the Holy Spirit so that we can be like him. If you ask people in a room, and I'm going to ask you the question now, who would like to be like Jesus? Who would like to be more like Jesus? Stick up your hand if you'd. Now, maybe some of you are thinking, I'll put my hand up because I should. Yeah, but I'm not quite sure what it means. Well, let's see what that actually means and what the significance of that is. I think in some ways, all of us carry some of the DNA, some of the code of Jesus in us. Yeah? And the first thing I wanted to do today was to say thank you for being Jesus to this girl. Now, I don't know her name, but I could call her Miriamo. Miriamo lives in Angosh. And that's a picture of her in the hospital in Angosh, taken last week. I reckon that she's probably about 12 years old. But she looks like she's 8, doesn't she? See how thin she is? And just a few weeks ago, we stood in front of you here and we asked you to help support the flood relief in Angosh. And very, very kindly and brilliantly, including the gift aid, I think probably we've raised between £3,500 and £4,000. That money has gone straight out to put that plate of rice and veg and a bit of chicken in Miriamo's hands. And the people on the ground in Angosh, our friends who are part of church in Angosh, indigenous Mozambicans, have organised that and done all of that, even though they themselves have been struggling with the flooding. They've organised every week, we're buying food for the hospital and feeding that child. Now, you may say to me, why buy her some food? Surely the hospital has food. In this town in Mozambique, the hospitals do not have food, and the families have to look after their own relatives who are in hospital and feed them and care for them and wash them and look after them. There's hardly any nursing care at all. So the families who were providing for this girl had their homes washed away. They had no crops. They had nowhere to sleep. They had nothing. And so we decided we need to, A, fly in some medicine. So you've also paid for some medicines to be flown in to the hospital. And I got an email back in Portuguese saying, muito, muito, muito obrigado, which is we're very, very, very thankful. So just, I wanted to pass on that thanks to you today. And that's a way that you can be Jesus and you can touch. Like I said, I don't know if her name is Mariamo, but hey, let's call it that for today. I'm so proud of my grandson. He's a lovely little boy. His name is Joseph. And in this last week or so, we've had to contend for Joseph because he lost the use of his legs, was unable to walk. His dad, in the same week, had another brain seizure. So we've had an interesting week, and we've been contending and praying for him. But we've seen God's mercy come in, and he's beginning to cruise, which is walk around now from place to place. He's 1 year old. He's been walking for about 8 weeks. He's got it back again. Isn't God good? So this is a picture of Joseph. And you remember the story of Jesus? When Mary is pregnant, she goes out and goes to see her friend. And even though Jesus is in the womb, he meets John, who's going to be called John the Baptist. Yeah, and they sort of bump into each other, maybe. I don't know. Probably. And that baby Jesus just kicks around and they kick around. Yeah, that's his sort of first encounter for me that is recorded of meeting somebody else. And I just think it's such fun that even as that little child, even that little baby is kicking around there. That's Jesus connecting with somebody else. And I want you to think about how Jesus connects with other people here. And I want you to be thinking as I speak this morning, what does that mean for me? How can I be more like Jesus? How could I connect with other people in other contexts and other situations? How could I touch other people? So he had what I call, and you normally have a prenatal visit, don't you? He had a prenatal meeting. Yeah. So I'm trying to contextualize the gospel here, really. So normally you go for your prenatal scan and all the rest of it. So Jesus didn't have that, did he? But he had a prenatal meeting. There were maternity ward visits, weren't they? Where did those occur? In a stable, yeah. And what were the sorts of people who came to visit Jesus? There were shepherds, wise men, and any other person who happened to be coming to feed the animals, I guess. Yeah. What a place. Isn't that significant for me? Jesus is born not hidden away in some house somewhere, but in quite a public, busy place, like a stable. And there's people connecting with him, even though he's just a baby. He's having impact and power as a consequence of him being the Son of God and that star up in the sky saying, hey, this is the place, this is what's going on, look at this. That's where Jesus is. And people are connecting, even as a baby. So you may say, oh, well, I'm not quite old enough, or I'm not mature enough to connect with a baby. Yes, you are. Jesus did it. Then he's dedicated, and his parents are very, let's say, religious. I don't like that word, but they're quite sort of Jewish, yeah? They're very Jewish in how they express their culture. As you see the story of how Jesus grows up, you can see all the time how Jewish they are. They're not sort of mediocre Jews. They are like serious Jews. And one of the things they do is take him to the temple to be dedicated. What happens when they take him to the temple? Two lots of prophecy from another generation. People who've been longing to see God come, who prophesy over him. And just have a look at that when you get back home in terms of the words they use and what they say. Again, it's just Jesus connecting, even though such a small child, with another constituency of people, with another group of people, and them seeing something that he's carrying and being inspired by it. Question, could we carry something that connects us with another generation that could inspire them? Answer, yes. Entirely possible. And in fact, more than possible, probable. If we can just let the Holy Spirit loose and let him do what he wants to do with us. Those two people who prophesied believed in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave them those prophetic words, and they prayed. What an amazing situation. Words from another generation. Now, has anybody ever been curious about Jesus growing up? Anybody? Yeah. There is no DVD recording. There's no photo stream on my iPhone or my iPad that I can connect with to see how Jesus grew up. But I sort of like this photo of this lad because I sort of thought he could have looked a little bit like that. And I just loved his cheeky grin and his sort of it's all right look. And it's the sort of Jesus that I can imagine. So I put him up there. It says, and this is out of the Bible, all right? This isn't just sort of Julian telling you this. I'm quoting here. He was healthy. That's cool, wasn't it? He was strong and wise. That was his childhood. Healthy, strong, and wise. I would say that some of my children, and I have four, as they've been growing up, probably seem to be at times less than wise. But at other times, they carried amazing wisdom. And in particular, I recall a story of my daughter when she was 15, when she had problems with two of her classmates who were arguing with one another incessantly, having what I call one of these escalating, and girls, and it's only girls who do this, I'm afraid, and this is the moment for the boys in the room to get back at that other stuff earlier about all the things that men don't do. This is our moment, all right, men? So we're not like the girls who have these escalating, catty sort of, you know, things going on. So, because we just don't get it at all, really. So here, two friends were having this escalating argument, you know, whatever it was, it was just getting worse and worse and worse. And I can remember seeing Kathy at the end of the day, we sat on her bed and we were talking in her bedroom. And I said, how is it? She said, oh, terrible. It's these two girls. They're just going for each other. It's getting worse and worse and worse. So I said, and when a bloke doesn't know what to do, top tip men, the best thing to do is to ask a question, right? Don't open your gob and give an answer. Just ask another question. That's always works well for me thus far. So I asked her a question and said, so why do you think that is? And she said, this is sort of Kathy at age 15, well, Dad, they don't realize that they're equal. They don't realize that they're equal before God. And if they could understand that and see that, then they wouldn't be having this thing. And I said, well, that's what you've got to try and bring into the situation and talk to them about and pray for. So kids can be amazingly wise. And I've seen that on the mission trips that we've done around the world with young kids. They're astonishingly wise. So give your kids, give the kids in this church the space to be healthy, strong, and wise. Here's Jesus sitting down with the teachers, talking to them, yeah, about faith and about God and who he is, yeah, at age 12. Yeah? Give our kids the chance to be who God called them to be and what he's given them. The wisdom that they carry is greater than you understand or comprehend. Unlock it. Let it fly. That's my appeal to you this morning. They went for these annual festival journeys, to and fro, walking with people in extended family, it says. So clearly Jesus was part of something bigger than just his own intimate family. The other thing I like as well about this Jesus as we go along is that he was a builder or a carpenter. There's lots of debate about was he a carpenter, was he like a specialist joiner who just did lovely furniture, you know, or did he sort of build stuff. It's quite likely that he built in timber and in stone, because that's just what they used at that time. He was out there in the community on a building site doing his stuff. So I sort of, as I'm a builder, I quite like that, and I'm quite proud of that, that I'm of the same profession as Jesus. So anybody wants to go into construction, there we go, that's your top tip. This is a picture of some cliffs in Israel. And as you can see, at the start of Jesus' ministry, he went out into the wilderness. He took time out to be with God. Another top tip out of our busy schedule. Quite a chunk of time, isn't it? If you only had sort of 3 years to do what you were doing, 40 days is a big chunk. You'd want to be getting on with it, wouldn't you? Yeah. But he takes 40 days out. He joins in with that baptism. And in the Jordan, with that guy he met in the womb, whom he bumped into, John the Baptist. He receives that Holy Spirit power. He's going from synagogue to synagogue, and he's brilliant. It's interesting, isn't it? I sort of, do you know what, I had in the back of my mind that Jesus wasn't really into synagogues. You know, that I sort of thought, well, he was always out, you know, in a field somewhere or out elsewhere. And I find, for me, it was a bit sort of surprising when I looked at it a bit harder that he actually was in that place where you sort of, and he was, the thing was, he wasn't palatable in that place. Yeah? He wasn't preaching in a nice way that meant that people wanted to invite him back. In fact, they wanted to throw him over that cliff edge. That was the sort of response that Jesus was evoking. How can we be like Jesus? Are we all the time seeking to be palatable, acceptable, and PC, politically correct? Or are there times when we need to be something different, when the Holy Spirit tells us to be, and maybe be a bit provocative, and maybe stand for something different, something that challenges people? If we're going to be like Jesus, then maybe, just as people used to talk about the non-conformists and the conformists, they carried something, didn't they? They didn't want to conform, but then they began to conform and became very much like everybody else, unfortunately. But maybe we need to be more like some of those non-conformists. Maybe we need to be more provocative. The other interesting thing is, who does he begin to speak about on that first bit of speaking that we hear about? And I love this. It's about the poor. Yeah? It's good news for the poor. Who are we called to bring good news to if we're to be like Jesus? Well, therefore, it is obvious it's for the poor. If you're not sure about where to start or what to do, if you want to be more like Jesus, hey, how about just stopping and thinking, what can I do for the poor? I mean, how many of us here, just out of interest, because I've been sponsor a child somewhere around the world, you know, through World Vision or whoever. Who else does that? Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. And even if you're really, really sharp, like Ian and Liz Linton, they actually went out to see the girl that they'd sponsored. And they were the first person ever to do that. And the village completely celebrated as a consequence of them supporting that child and getting her into her education. Transformational, what you're doing with that bit of money. Pray for those kids. Stick the pictures up on your fridge. Think about them. Give to the poor. That wasn't a request. That was like... Do you remember the guy Arthur Blessett who walked around everywhere with a cross on his shoulder? He's got this little website-y thing, and he did a calculation on how far Jesus walked, and he reckoned he walked 21,000 miles. That's like half the mileage on my Mini at the moment. That's a long way, yeah? That's a few pairs of sandals, isn't it? 21,000 miles. Even those ones with tie grip soles, you know? It's a long, long way. And I like this picture of this couple walking along and chatting with each other. Because what do you do when you walk? Yeah, you chat, don't you? Yeah, you converse with people. And I loved the fact that he's going to people's homes, like in personal things, like, and how many of us have been into somebody's home and been able to pray for some situation or some circumstance and see God do something different? I would encourage you, when you're in other people's homes, yeah, to be prepared to be like Jesus and do that. Yeah, what a great place to pray for people. Healing doesn't have to be just on the streets. It can be in the home as well. He had this thing of just being blessing. Can we be blessing? Breaking nets of fish, so many fish. Yeah. So where we go and what we do and what we call into being, can we call in blessing? Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. Let's say it again, blessed to be a... So you are blessings. You are blessings. In your work, in your home, where you connect with people, you have the capacity, and in fact more than that, you are a blessing. Just open your eyes and recognize how much of a blessing you can really be. I like the fact that he ate and he drank with scum. Yeah, the ordinary people. I like my construction industry because lots of people use lots of expressions that I never find in church. And one of the things I found is occasionally I use those expressions in church and find that those surprise people, let's say, shall we? But there's something about that, yeah, that we've got to be prepared, yeah, to accept and welcome and be open to. Yeah, I'm not saying that we should become like scum. But maybe we need to be prepared to be more vulnerable, yeah, and find ourselves in situations and contexts where people like that speak to us, minister to us, even like that lady who we think was a prostitute who brought that alabaster vase of oil and washed Jesus' feet. Amazing story, isn't it? And the rest of the people are sitting around saying, what the heck are you doing, Jesus? Don't you realize what this lady is? Yeah, he fully, completely, 100% realized who she was. That's why he sat there. That's why he let her do it. And that's why he acknowledged her for it. So could we be prepared again to make ourselves vulnerable? He's a man of compassion. Are we prepared to be stirred up by the compassion that God has put within us? Can we respond to it? How can we respond to the stuff that we see? With Christians being thrown out of boats in the Mediterranean because of their faith, with Christians being murdered in Kenya in a school, with Coptic Christians being killed, and the Archbishop of Canterbury saying in the news yesterday, the persecution against Christians now, it's the first time since the 13th century that it's been as bad as this. Should we not have compassion in Pakistan for those Christians who are being murdered because of their faith? And should we not ask God, what can we do about it? Yeah? What should we do about it? Let's have some compassion. And then the other interesting thing with Jesus, just look at the raft of people he's connecting with here. A Roman officer. The army of occupation. Yeah? So Robin knows about armies of occupation, don't you, Robin? Yeah? They're often not welcomed. Yeah? They're not the heroes of the peace. Yeah? But he was prepared to connect with that man and see his daughter healed. Isn't that amazing? Jesus connecting with such a diverse group of people. Hey, this is like, I love this. I love the diversity of the networks, connections, friends, and people that I've met in my life. That is one of my joys. Yeah? That I'm not sort of homogenous, monocultural Maidenhead man. Yeah? Who's never ever really sort of gone out of the box and only ever thought about my next BMW or my bigger car or whatever it is. And I've decided to spend my money that God gave me on traveling and connecting and meeting other people around the world and just seeing who they are and what's going on. And they've shaped and influenced me and changed me. So how about trying to be a little bit more diverse? That would be cool. Another way to be a bit more like Jesus. So like I've said earlier, he was a craftsman, he was a friend to people, he was a faith finder, he was a storyteller. I love stories, so I'm a bit like Jesus in that. He's forceful and angry. Is it Christian to be angry? That's interesting, isn't it? Did Jesus lose his temper? Yes, they said. My goodness. So you can be angry about stuff. Question is, what are you going to be angry about? Yeah, are you going to be angry about the fact that the lady in front of the queue forgot her Barclay card number or whatever it is and is taking an age to sort of key it into the pad in front of you? Is that what you're going to be angry about? Or are you going to be angry about the fact that the lady in the road in front of you in the car has just reversed into your car? Are you going to be angry about that? Yeah? Let's choose to be angry about the right things. Yeah? The things that are worthwhile being angry about. He loved meals. Anybody here like going out for a meal or eating? Half of you are lying. Everybody likes doing that. Okay. He was betrayed. Anybody been betrayed ever? Yeah. So we know what that stuff is like. Jesus knew that as well. What did he did with that betrayal? Very different maybe to what we've been able to do with the way we've been betrayed. What an example. And then even more powerful and more significant, he cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Abandoned. So whenever we feel that stuff, just think of Jesus. And how can we be like him? I like the group of ladies. You know, this is really cool. Can you imagine? Yeah? Did Jesus, like, save up for his ministry? Yeah? I think he probably did, you know? So I think, you know, working as a carpenter and doing what he's doing, gets to 30 years old, he's probably got a bit of money in his back pocket, hasn't he? Yeah? To sort of get himself going and to start off doing what he's doing. He's got to eat, yeah? He's got to live. But these ladies saw what he was like, and this Joanna was Herod's business manager. So, I don't know, a bit like Jonathan Davis, you know, who was the financial guy for Peter Jones, you know, sort of, but a lady. So, Jonathan obviously is not a lady. So, and they were the first witnesses to the resurrection. They, like, helped fund it and followed him. They were like missionary supporters, weren't they? Yeah? So, you could be a missionary supporter and be like Jesus, like Joanna. Brilliant. We've mentioned the bleeding woman. I just want to touch on Peter, the highs and lows. It's, you know, that we can't be fab all the time. Oh, hello, parents, it's time to collect your kids. And just that walk to Emmaus where he explains and unpacks what he's about. I'm going to finish pretty shortly, yeah? They can wait for 5 minutes, can they? And then I can finish, okay? I like this picture a lot. I should have taken a bit more time and asked Annie to dig me out the picture of my daughter, Kathy, with our other grandson, Albie, but I didn't get myself organized enough. But there is a picture of my daughter with my grandson, Albie, and it looks uncannily like that. So you've got an uncannily representation of Kathy and Albie. Can we call them that? Yeah? Now, Albie there, and my Albie, my grandson Albie, is not quite as chubby as that one, so could you just thin him down a bit? And he's slightly better looking, all right? Completely unbiased, but that's how he is. So, what I like about this Albie is he's looking outward. Yeah? He could be looking inward, yeah, at his mum, but he's being carried and he's seeing the whole world around him and he's connecting and he's engaging. And I have a picture this morning that God carries us. And he carries us facing out. And we too often, yeah, even though we're being carried facing outwards, are going like this. Yeah? And he's saying to us, I've got you. Yeah? There's no way that that harness is going to break. That's been health and safety QA tested, yeah, to the nth degree and meets the ISO standard for child carrying in Europe. Yeah? How much greater, how much more powerful is our God who carries us than that security-tested harness? Another thing I like about this, is that baby always going to be a baby? Ooh. No. He's going to walk. And like my grandson Joseph, he is going to walk fully and properly. Yeah? He's going to walk. Do we want the Holy Spirit for us to be like Jesus? I'll leave you to answer that question for yourself. But the fact of the matter is that you can be. You could focus on the pain of Jesus' life. You could focus on what happened on the cross and think, oh, I don't want any of that, thank you very much. Or you could focus on some of the stuff that we've spoken about. You could be storytellers. You could be people who see people healed. You could be connecting with a whole world out there. If you want to be like Jesus, then that's the DNA that you have to carry. Last slide, Julian. I go back to what I said earlier. Was Jesus a figure in history, or does his life set out a path and a pattern for us to follow? I believe the latter. And I believe that's the significance of looking at the Jesus story, because we see a pattern and a path that we too can follow. That actually is the Emmaus Road. The guys are walking along that road. They've had 3 years of misunderstanding, wouldn't you say? Mostly speaking. A couple of enlightened moments when Jesus said, so who do you think I am? And one of them sort of puts his head above the parapet and said, well, I think you're the Son of God. Unfortunately, that's the one who denies him then later on. But he had a good moment at that point, didn't he? But as they walk along that path with Jesus, their hearts rise. They don't even recognize that it's Jesus. I don't know how that was, but they didn't. Yeah. But their hearts rise as they talk, and he unpacks everything for them, and he explains so much to them. What happens after that? Holy Spirit comes and gives them power to be witnesses in Jerusalem, home location, Judea, a bit further away, Samaria. You heard about Samaria, I think, last week, didn't you? About Samaritans were hated by the Jews, so going to places where people were hated. So Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the one I love, the ends of the world. That's where God has called us. I think we're called. I don't like calling myself a Christian. I like calling myself a follower of Jesus. I want to follow in that path. I want to have then enlightening moments as I walk with him and he whispers in my ear and my heart rises and I get excited. And what we're going to do next week together is to think about some of those communities, some of those contexts, some of those people, and how maybe we could do some things a bit different to connect into those situations and contexts and places. Final thing to say. We were walking along by the river yesterday, and there's a sailing boat going along at Higher Thames Sailing Club. And ironically, the guy in the dinghy sort of has to swerve to miss the safety boat and capsizes and gets caught by a big puff of wind and ends up in the water. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to blow us over. He's going to blow you over. That guy got back up again and off he went again. Really, really quickly. But I think the Holy Spirit is going to blow you over. Just let him do that. And when you get back in that boat, go off in a new direction and go up with a new sense of power and respect for what the wind can do. Thank you so much.